This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
All right, here we go on a Red Friday in Kansas City. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Cody and I are live out at Rally House in Oak Park, counting down the days now. Counting down the hours, I guess, at this point in time.
Yeah, I was about to say, we're inside of 3 days.
Yeah, it's hours
now. 2 days. 10 hours, whatever. Yeah, I don't know the exact countdown, but you get the point.
You're right. It's hours at this point is really where we're at. And this is the place to be to get stocked up on a Red Friday. Of course, the Chiefs looking to write history this Sunday, the first team to ever go back-to-back-to-back. And that means you need to get out to your local Rally House because we all know they have the best selection of Chiefs gear you can find, from those official postseason styles to the hottest in Chiefs women's fashion, the best assortment of headwear, home decor. Time to start supporting your Chiefs with gear from Rally House. In particular, you should stop by the Oak Park location. We're here 10 to 2 because you can get entered to win a $250 gift card.
That'll get you
a head start. When the Chiefs ultimately win on Sunday, they're going to reopen this store when they win on Sunday night, okay?
They already have the signs on the door saying that.
That's right. It's going to be an unbelievable celebration, hopefully, after Sunday and everything. And this is going to be the place to be to get all your gear.
You could pick up the AFC champion shirt and then just follow it up with the back-to-back-to-back hoodie. Or, we see some of the Super Bowl beanies or all the other stuff that exist here at Rally House. So, yeah, just kind of it felt like kind of a long week. Because it's tough. I told you when the playoffs started, it had legitimately been a month since the Chiefs had played a meaningful football game. Then they gave me a little taste. I got 2 weeks in a row of meaningful football gold, including a huge game that felt like a mini Super Bowl against the Buffalo Bills. Then I got to wait 2 weeks again? This is nuts. So now that we're like the Friday before, yeah, the anticipation, the juices start flowing. You and I sit around and we're like, I mean, everybody knows. Everybody knows what's on the line on Sunday. Not just a Super Bowl win, which is standard, but immortality.
Like, ultimate bragging rights.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Anybody, I would argue already there's not much anybody can say to you if you're a Chiefs fan to begin with what they've done over
the last
really 5 or 6 years. But doing something that's never been done before, we all know that's what's on the line. That is going to be what this is all about. And, I think the historical implications, it's a shame that I still, and maybe it'll happen if the Chiefs win, but I still think throughout this week, nationally, the discussion about truly what they have a chance to do has not been there the way I think it would have been there if it wasn't for all the referee stuff that's been out there over the last couple of weeks. I truly believe that. Like, I know in Kansas City, we all recognize what they're trying to do.
Yes.
But nationally, normally, amazing historical achievements or opportunities to have historical achievements are celebrated. And maybe it will be. Maybe we'll be pleasantly surprised if the Chiefs do this on Sunday. Maybe next week they'll get their flowers from everybody nationally. Maybe I'm way wrong on this. But leading up to it, I don't think there's been as much, admiration almost for what they've done during this run and what they have a chance to do on Sunday, which, of course, is get the three-peat.
Well, if funny enough, like you say that, and this doesn't have to be. This can be a positive show today. But, like, I felt like there was more talk about, like, if Saquon should go for the record than three-peat talk. And I don't know, again, some of that might just be fatigue. I'll admit, Some of them might be that because the Chiefs continue to be in this situation. But this will absolutely cement them as the single greatest dynasty in NFL history. They'll get to have a conversation on those, like, Yahoo Sports puts out its top 20 dynasties of all time in North American sports. And they'll be on the list somewhere, and you can make your argument about why football makes it harder or anything in between. I refuse to be complacent or used to the idea that for Chiefs fans, let's just say you were born in the 50s or the 60s, for Chiefs fans, you spent your entire life in obscurity. Like, yeah, sure, you had a couple of years here or there. You had your chance. You had an appearance in an AFC title game, but waited 50 years just to get back to a Super Bowl as a fan, only for them to go to 5 Super Bowls in 6 years? To go to 3 in a row and have a chance to win all 3 of those games? Yeah, this Sunday feels like the culmination of what was a lifetime of a lot of fandom for people. You grew up as a fan in the 90s. Chiefs were good in the 90s. They had a lot of good years, Gold. This wasn't like watching the 100 loss. I mean, it was a good team who won a lot of games and Marty Ball and, you know, won divisions and whatever, right? But never really threatening the ultimate prize, never threatening the thing that mattered, except for one blip when Joe Montana was here for a very brief period of time. And then Andy showed up, and they were relevant again. And then Mahomes showed up with Andy, and they were the single best franchise in football. And now they're going for a three-peat on Sunday? Yeah, that just sounds cool.
They can check every single box with a win on Sunday. The obvious one, the three-peat. Andy Reid, in my opinion, can check the box that gets him, essentially, as long as he coaches another 3 years,
yeah,
essentially give him most of the coaching accomplishments that you could ever have and put him in position to be the greatest coach of all time. Mahomes, of course, with another one, he would have done something that Brady hasn't done. It would put him on a better pace than what Tom Brady was to be the greatest quarterback of all time. All of that happens with
the second most
massive
Super Bowl titles of
all time. Win on Sunday, and you're right, from a franchise perspective, and the way we all grew up, right? And you heard about the Steelers and all the rings, and the Cowboys and the Niners and all the rings, the Packers. The Chiefs franchise has already vaulted themselves way up the list, even with what they've done. But prior to Sunday, with the win on Sunday, I mean, it puts him in not just an NFL category, but across all professional sports. You look at franchises in NBA and in baseball. It doesn't matter of titles won by a franchise in, you know, certainly in the last 50 years, but even if you want to go all time, it puts them in that group there with all the names that we all grew up hearing about.
Okay.
And now the
Patriots
kids nowadays, or, you know, or your future kids or grandchildren or whatever, you're, you know, 20, 30 years from now, the teams they're going to hear about, oh yeah, those 2020s,
yeah,
I don't know how we're going to say. We right now we say the 90s. I guess those 20s Chiefs teams, man, were
my 2020s when you look at it. So I put my kids in, so like you and I traveled to 3 of the Super Bowls that they won, and I bought my kids t-shirts, right, from all the times there. Some of them they've outgrown now.
Well, sure.
But like I put them both in one of the Super Bowl t-shirts I had gotten in an opposing city, right, in a Super Bowl site city, for their, you know, class Red Friday stuff. My daughter was like, I hope the Chiefs win on Sunday. And I said, well, yeah, I mean, people do hope that. And she was like, you're not going to the game this time? And I said, no, I'm not going. She's like, well, I do hope they win. I said, well, I do too. She's like, they always win. And I was like, you know, I thought about for a brief second. I'd be like, well, come on, teams don't always win things. But if they win this one, what argument do you really have? They do kind of always win.
Oh, like, depending on your age, that's all they do. I mean, you mentioned your kids. I've got three nephews. Three nephews are all under the age of 10. Yeah, all they know is this is what they do. They just win. You know, heck, and if depending on the age, you also think, well, the Royals, they win a World Series every 10 years or so. You know,
if you
even
were,
on the,
yeah,
you're talking about them, like, that's the crazy thing. We've talked over and over about that.
I think if you're 20, you're pretty spoiled.
The historical path that this city has been on, frankly, from a championship perspective. But it's all about the Chiefs getting set for Sunday's game. And we were talking to a listener before the show started. We were setting up, and I don't know, 35 minutes ago or something like that. And just that, there's plenty to still talk about with this game,
yeah,
no doubt, right? And we've got a fun show planned today. We got Josh Briscoe joining us at 11 o'clock. We'll have Dusty call back in the 1 o'clock hour today to find out how many hurricanes deep he is already by 1 o'clock today. But it's time just to get to the game. Like, there's part of me that's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you're just excited. By the time we get to Thursday, now Friday, it's like, can we hit the fast-forward button and get to kickoff? And Sunday's going to feel like an eternity, too. You'll get to Sunday morning. Yes, it's like waking up on Christmas morning or whatever, but you are going to be counting down the hours, and it'll be one.
Well, I got a kid's birthday party,
and
so
you've
you
got
know?
Which is that's still crazy.
You know,
that's still
so
crazy.
I got ways to fill the time.
Chris, a kid's birthday party on a Super Bowl Sunday is wild, but it's not your. In fact, it's
earlier in the day at least.
But by 1 o'clock, it's going to feel like that 1 to 4 o'clock is going to take 12 hours.
Yeah, and like I guess a lot of it is what's your ritual? Do you put on the national pregame coverage and let every single?
I might actually have to go to the gym in the morning.
So, funny enough, I like to separate myself from it a little bit. I don't try to just consume, and I know you can. I have a hard time sometimes consuming eight hours of content because, like, after a while, I'm like, damn, this is taking forever. Now, look, you can listen to extended pregame right here at 96.5 The Fan. You can listen to pregame like normal right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. And all those things are in there. But, like, everybody kind of handles these things different. But I'm absolutely with you. Fast forward me to the time in which the Chiefs are going for the three-peat and it's kickoff and the butterflies kick in. Because it does feel normal to do the lead-up to it. But you and I both know, and maybe some people hit it a week ago, maybe some people hit it today, now that we're talking on Red Friday. For some people, it might be Sunday morning. Eventually, the real nerves of what this game means is going to kick you in the gut, and you're going to have to start, like, feeling that again. Because, you know, we're asking ourselves stupid questions, like, is it harder to win the first one or the third one? And we asked that to Barber yesterday, and he's like, well, or Dana yesterday, he's like, I tried not to think about it in a sense that, like, one thing is harder. Like, if I won 14 in a row, 15 isn't harder. But I'll be damned if you can't convince me that three-peating is not harder than anything else you will ever do in this sport. Maybe it's the culmination. Maybe it's more an aggregate award gold than it is an individual game award, as in maybe the first actual game Super Bowl is harder versus this actual game. But for the same reasons everyone has said, injury, attrition, the way contracts work and salaries work and the people who leave you, it's borderline impossible in the NFL to do what the Chiefs are even attempting to do. No one's even had a crack at it. No one's even been in the game with a chance to actually three-peat.
Yeah, that to me is why the answer is obvious, that the three-peat and winning the third is tougher than even the first. Yes, you got to break through the wall and get your first one. That may alleviate initially some pressure, and certainly how people talk about you, how people will talk about Jalen Hurts if he wins his first one. Yeah, that's true. But winning a third, absolutely, it's the tougher one because of what you just laid it out. I mean, it's very obvious. It's number one. You're playing more games than everybody else, and therefore the injuries catch up. This year, the Chiefs are fortunate. The injuries they had were so early in the year that they're now as healthy as an NFL team can be in early February as they get set to take on the Eagles Sunday in New Orleans. You know, it's amazing that the roster, even from 2 years ago, looks quite a bit different. And obviously it looks way different from the first one. There's a handful of guys, Mahomes and Chris Jones, Kelsey, Winchester, Butker, the first few to come to mind, from the first one in Miami. There might not be anybody else left. I think I named all of them right there from the first
one.
So. To have that turnover. That's not that
many people on a 53-man roster.
So that's what makes it so impressive. And when you are the hunted every single time. We know this. Like, it's not a cliche thing. Like, every team Super Bowl, it's the way it is because the players on opposing teams have admitted it. They try. The Chiefs is the number one target. Every team knows when they build out their roster. Hell, the Buffalo Bills a couple years ago, even though it backfired a little bit, they brought in Von Miller for one reason, to get after Patrick Mahomes. Teams are making moves. They're not all bad, but they're making moves to try to stop the Chiefs. And so you've got to counteract that. And they've somehow been able to keep this coaching staff from the defensive coordinator, OC for the most part, even though Andy's calling the play, so the OC leaving is not as big of a deal, together. And all of it. And meanwhile, everybody thought maybe Chris Jones wasn't going to be able to stay on the team because of financial reasons a year ago. They found a way to get that done. This offseason will have new challenges.
And they're choosing the right people to keep around, right? You could have made an argument gold at one point. I think maybe we talked about it on the show. That is the bang worth the buck on a guy like Chris Jones, right? We asked that question somewhere along the way. Hey, is it worth paying a guy $20, $25 million a year? We just saw him walk on Tyreek Hill. Didn't even break a sweat. They let a top five wide receiver at the time in the NFL go gold. And what do? Win Super Bowl, directly in his absence. They're in their third Super Bowl since his absence. But they looked at Chris Jones and they said, not without that. I told you, like, this has taught me a lot about, one, it's just like having a coach and a quarterback is the obvious answer, and everybody always kind of knew that. for the pretty clear reasons, but I told you it's taught me a lot about team building, where defensive corner, like you need a defensive lineman, a dominant one, a dominant corner, a dominant quarterback, and a dominant coach. If you have those four things, I almost think you can't screw up the rest of the roster. And they've been able to rotate and turn pieces. And, like, the idea that not to just be go for a three-peat. I laugh at the people. I can't get over that 2022 draft class. That, like, they drafted nine players who were all contributors except for one guy, who's actually a backup on the Eagles roster, by the way. But with the exception of one single player, they found eight contributors in the 2022 draft class who will be playing in their third year in the NFL and might win Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl in 3 years of doing it. Like, there are players, and I know Ross Tucker was like, I don't know if I like fresh blood, like other people to get rings. Nah, I'm good with these guys, just getting all of them for
a
while.
Well, yeah, I mean,
until somebody stands in the way.
Outside of Kansas City, I understand if you want to see somebody else win. Like, I get it. I think we were saying the same thing when the Patriots were winning.
Oh, yeah, I was rooting for anybody.
But what I don't get, and for fans, I get it. I guess it's the national media discussions around what they're doing. I don't think there's been as much acknowledgement about the historical impact that we've seen in other sports, when other teams, you know, when the Lakers were going for their three-peat. And some of that, look, maybe ultimately you sit back, and if you're in Kansas City, we should say, you know what, who gives a bleep, honestly? We all know what they're doing. Who gives it? Over time, history will appreciate it even more if they three-peat. Maybe in the moment they won't. I'm sure if the Chiefs win on Monday morning, there will be somebody, I don't know, Dan Orlovsky, somebody who was just on with Bob and Dusty.
We're going to talk about his MVP, though.
We will talk about the
I have questions.
We will talk about the NFL Honors Award last night, coming up in about 15 minutes or so. There'll be somebody like him that, whether it's an officiating thing or just some other blunder, or, you know, I'll be like, oh, but how great Jalen Hurts played in a losing effort, instead of the obvious right in front of you thing, which is, oh, the Chiefs ended up three-peating.
Nothing else matters on the Eagles' end if the Chiefs three-peat. They will have completed NFL history. It's already the single greatest start to anyone's NFL career. Mahomes already has that locked down. Look at the statistics. Look at the MVPs. Look at the Super Bowl MVPs. And you and I both know that if they win the Super Bowl on Sunday, he is most likely, statistically by a mile, to be the Super Bowl MVP again. And the things that kind of come with that. I don't know that I've gotten more confident as the week has gone on about this Eagles game.
Oh, I have. But I'll get nervous Sunday. But I have. Our score prediction, we had to put up a video or send a video for what will come out on Sunday. And I told you before, like, the score, the margin has widened for me from Monday. Like, I'm going to be picking the Chiefs to win the game. But the margin.
What?
I know, shocking.
Could you imagine if I, at the end of the show, said, you know what, guys? I got the Eagles by three. Get out of here. It's just stupid.
Yeah,
why would
point.
I pick against Mahomes?
Yeah, I mean, the run they're on, it's not even like being homers, so you'd be wrong if you picked against them most of the time. It's, you know, I also just truly deep down believe, and we'll talk about this throughout the show today, like, deep down, Kansas City has areas where I think they're just flat out better than Philadelphia, despite all this talk about their roster being better in Philly. Like, there are certain areas, we had the debate about the weapons. I think their two receivers are clearly better, things like that, but man, there's some gaps in coaching and quarterback play that are just massive in this game.
I don't disagree, and that's where, like, again, like I said, I don't know if it's exponentially growing in confidence as the time goes on, but the homer part is really funny. Because, like, if you're a Kansas City fan, and we know you're listening to the show because you're a big Chiefs fan and you're excited about the game on Sunday, and you got somebody who cheers for the Saints or cheers for the Broncos, whatever, doesn't matter who their squad is, and you probably for years they've been calling you a homer because you're like, they're not going to lose this game, they're not going to lose this game, Bills aren't getting them, Ravens aren't getting them. You have been right 100% of the time for three consecutive years, other than that Denver Broncos game in which they just didn't give up. Since October, since Halloween of last year, they've lost a game. Singular. Like Christmas, I guess, is what it was.
Yeah, we don't count the Week 18 thing.
Fine.
So.
Since Christmas of last year, in games in which they've attempted to play a football game, they have lost one game. Like, it's February of 2025, not Christmas of last year, Christmas of the year before. Let me clarify, since now we're in 2025. Christmas of 2023 was the last, one of only two games they've lost in that entire time. And so it's not homerism if it's right. And I'm with you. Like, it's easy. I could just boil it down, and I could say what a lot of people would say. They got the better coach and the better quarterback. They win. Game over. They got the better coordinators. Ha-ha, we win. But I think there are actual on-field things in which I cannot understand how, for the entire week, I've had to listen to what you've mentioned. National pundits talk about, like, well, the Chiefs are screwed. Jalen Carter is going to come run through the middle of this offensive line, and he's going to cause a problem. But we don't discuss on the other side whether or not Chris Jones presents the identical problem to an Eagles offensive line who is big, but has had their own struggles. As a reminder, Jalen Hurts has been sacked just as much as Patrick Mahomes this year, and we've buried the Chiefs offensive line for those numbers. And so, like, it's like we're just pretending like Chris Jones isn't better than Jalen Carter and isn't also up against a struggling offensive line.
A lot of it for me has been Philadelphia is a great team. They're in the Super Bowl for a reason, no doubt. Like, I mean, you don't just make it to the Super Bowl by accident.
Yeah, but nobody's perfect.
But the notion that the Chiefs haven't seen a team like them is just not accurate. You know, the offensive line for Philadelphia you just brought up, the Bills' O-line was better. The defensive front that Philadelphia has, Jalen Carter's a stud, right? He's a great player. They've played great defensive lines this season and won. Houston, most notably. Pittsburgh.
Most recently.
Pittsburgh as well. Like, they've held their own. Joe Tooney has gone up against great edge rushers. He's actually not going up against a daunting edge rusher this go-around. Interior is going to be – Trey Smith's matchup with Jalen Carter is going to be huge in this game. I think we all recognize that Trey Smith will have to have a great game. But this idea that he's like – he's never seen anybody like that in the interior, I don't believe that's accurate. And the same thing applies. We keep going position group by position group. We all understand Saquon Barkley is historically great running back.
He's
going to end up in the Hall of Fame one day. He's amazing. Steve Spagnuolo against great running backs like Barkley. And yes, he has gone up against, in his career coaching-wise, great running backs. He's usually had a plan to limit them. And yeah, he hasn't gone up with this defensive unit against Saquon, but in other backs, they've had a plan. And the adjustments to limit one player from dominating a football game, from beating them. I still think they will make Jalen Hurts have to go out and win the game. They'll say, Jalen Hurts, overall this season, they've relied on the running game setting up the passing game. We're gonna make them have to pass. And maybe the Eagles will oblige early. Maybe the Eagles will come out right away and they'll try to throw the ball. And we'll see. Not that they're going to go Ravens and only run the ball six times or anything, but it would not surprise me on the first 15 scripted. If Jalen Hurts on the first few three plays, if they try to pass the ball and maybe have some success with it even.
I'd let him if I were Kansas City. You and I have talked about this all the time. How the Eagles look in quarter one is not going to determine whether that we do it. And you and I know, based on recent history, if it goes the other way in quarter one and the Chiefs are the team who's playing better, what's the record again in the last 3 years when the Chiefs have the lead after the first
29-0.
29-0? Okay. Well,
just
insane. I don't have to point out that the Chiefs have a 650 winning percentage in games in which they trail by double digits. No other team does that. So, like, one team has the advantage of it is legitimately almost never over for them. You have to live in fear, and the second that the comeback starts to happen, you have to quake again. And look, I don't think it's going to go this way. They have trailed by double digits in all three Super Bowls in which they played. That was the thing that threw me off, actually, about the Bills game for a minute. I was watching it, and I couldn't figure out. I'm like, what about this game feels weird to me? It was that the Chiefs were playing from ahead, and I was like, oh, that doesn't...
That first drive was amazing.
I was like, but it felt weird. Not the drive, but like in the first half, I was like, wait, the Chiefs have all the control in this game, and I'm confused, and it scares me. And then they got behind a little bit to the Bills as they started to make some drives. I'm like, all right, we're back. Now it feels like a normal Chiefs playoff game, and I don't have to worry anymore, but... Like, yeah, there's just so much. And you and I both agree. The third one's harder because of everything you have to overcome. Like, this year, and this is where, like, you and I have talked about, and I think nationally is probably lost, because now they're as healthy as they've been. The idea that for at least 50% of the season, and some players way more, they were without a number one running back, a number two corner, a number two wide receiver, their number one wide receiver as well, that... Three of the guys in the wide receiver unit, or three of the guys in offense, weren't even on this team. They've had to change left tackles three times. Like, things weren't just, like, clean and smooth. This wasn't like the 16-0 Patriots team, where it never looked like they even struggled or had to find themselves. They once again, in the middle of the season, had to go through their very real problems while winning, and then solve those problems in order to become the team they are now in the Super Bowl. So, like, it just takes a lot. It takes a lot to even get back to this game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's, there's so many different directions that this thing could have gone during the regular season as well. But I was listening, driving in, and earlier in the morning when Fesco and Dusty, they had Mitch on, Mitch Holthus, obviously, who you'll hear Sunday, big game right here on 96.5 The Fan, along with Dane and Kling and Dan Israel. And he was just talking about just the preparation that the team has, like these practices, like how normal it seems for them at this point in time.
They have
a routine. That's another advantage going in. And I know Nick Sirianni was just in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, but when you have, I don't know, still, what was it, if we're being accurate, 65-70% of the roster, more than that actually, because last year, have gone through the Super Bowl week and therefore the practices.
80%.
It's just normal. They just know how the week goes and how to handle it. And last week, we all know the game plan was implemented. This week, they had practice, but most of it was shirred up last week.
And they got the right amount of hungry veterans, Kareem Hunt and DeAndre Hopkins, who are going through it for the first time.
Mark Donovan.
Are hungry for that.
Mark Donovan told him this morning that Kareem Hunt and D-Hop were two of the guys that spoke to the team after the last two practices. Basically, to your point, Cody, that, hey, the appreciation and the admiration of having the opportunity to, for the first time in their careers, get to a Super Bowl. And I think that can go across. I mean, I don't think there's any lack of motivation anywhere, right? You know, for anybody, you're going for a three-peat for a lot of these guys on the roster and all that. They know the historical implication for Mahomes, the legacy stuff. But if you're Kareem Hunt and D-Hop, and if you're a guy on the team and you see how D-Hop is probably emotional about this, how can you not also want to just, you know, they're already giving max effort, but like, how do you not want it even more for those guys that didn't have a chance to experience yet? DeAndre Hopkins, who I think will end up in the Hall of Fame, a ring probably assures that.
Yep.
But you're going out and trying to win for that guy too. It's just there's so many different players that fit that is just massive for them, and I think somewhat of an advantage. Our big game coverage on 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Member-owned, open to all, invested in you. Join today at communityamerica.com. We are broadcasting from Rally House Oak Park today, getting set on a Red Friday for the big game. You can come on by till 2 o'clock. Enter to win a $250 gift card. Up next, though, I want to pivot away from the Super Bowl just briefly because last night was the NFL Honors, one of the events that takes place down in New Orleans and the site of the Super Bowl. Josh Allen, it's not a spoiler, you know, he won MVP. How did he win MVP? What was the difference with the All-Pro? The voting's different. We're going to try to figure out what actually happened here, and does it mean that we have to view these awards way differently moving forward? That's coming up next on Cody.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gold. All right, back here on Cody and Gold. We are live at Rally House Oak Park on a Red Friday, getting set for the big game. Of course, this is the place to go to get stocked up for the Chiefs game on Sunday. And if the Chiefs get it done on Sunday night, they will be reopening this store in the evening as well. So after the game, you want those official locker room tees. I don't know what they're going to look like this year. I don't know if they'll actually say three-peat. I don't know if that'll be a different thing. Whatever it may be, this will be the place to go to get stocked up.
Do you think they'll be threesome shirts?
I don't think they'll have the threesome ones. You and I are
missed opportunity, in my opinion, Rally House.
We're going to have to get that printed separately, is my guess. We'll have to get that one taken care of separately. But I can tell you, make it a little bit easier for you to be able to get all the Super Bowl gear you're looking for and everything like that. Of course, talking about the opportunity for gift cards. So if you stop on by and you're looking for an opportunity to win a $250 gift card, this is a location to go to. Got our box. Just stop on by, say hello. $250 gift card will enter you to win that. All right. So last night, NFL Honors. NFL Honors takes place every week of the Super Bowl. And
sure,
the MVP award is, of course, other than the Walter Payton Man of the Year award, is always the award everybody's most interested in. And Josh Allen wins MVP last night. Okay. I have no issue overall if you would have told me 2 months ago or a month ago that Josh Allen was going to win MVP. Full disclosure, when we've talked about this, I would have voted if I had a vote weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks ago for Josh Allen. Preseason, if you listen to the very first episode of that betting show, Josh Allen was the preseason MVP pick that we had on the show. So I have no problem that he won. In fact, thank you very much. However, when Lamar Jackson won All-Pro, what was that, 3 weeks ago?
Yep.
We all kind of were like, oh, okay. I guess
history tells us he's the MVP.
And history does. I'm glad you said history, because let's start there. The last time the first team All-Pro didn't win AP NFL MVP was 1987. That was when John Elway was the MVP, but Joe Montana was the first team All-Pro. So has it happened before? Sure, but it's 1987. Seven people flipped their vote. And that's what's fascinating to me about this. Not that Josh Allen couldn't have been MVP. It's that what changed for the seven people that had Lamar Jackson as All-Pro and switched for the MVP? And fortunately, the AP voting this year is very public. You can see who the 51-plus voters are. We'll go through some of those names in a second. You can also see how they voted, which I think transparency is great. This has been my argument with the Heisman Award, and there's way too many voters for that. But I don't get the switch. If you want to say that Josh Allen was the most valuable player this year, I get it. That's fine. I have no problem with that. The problem I have is if you're now trying to say that, well, I voted so-and-so, in this case Lamar, All-Pro because he has better stats, but I voted Josh Allen because he's the most valuable player. That's never how this breakdown has worked. If that's what we're going to do going forward, then okay, we need to revisit how we talk about the MVP. Because I do think Josh Allen was one of, if not the most valuable player in the league this year.
Okay.
But the stat thing doesn't make any sense to me.
No, it makes zero sense. Let's just admit what this is. Everyone felt bad for little Joshy. And so they handed him an award that maybe he deserved to win in a, I'll argue, close battle against Lamar Jackson. But switching your vote is idiotic. Lamar Jackson had a better completion percentage, more total yards, more total touchdowns, less total turnovers. He was better in every statistical means measurable than Josh Allen. He had twice as many rushing yards. He had less rushing touchdowns, but more total touchdowns. Turned the ball over less. Everything favors statistically Lamar Jackson. Switching your vote based on vibes means you shouldn't even have voted Josh Allen at all. Actually, Patrick Mahomes should have been MVP based on that. If it's just means value to their team, well, then let's just give it to Mahomes every year, and it can be his award and nobody else wins it. Because if stats do matter, well, then you can't actually, I think, make the argument that Josh Allen's stats are better. They're not. If stats don't matter, well, then why are you voting for either of these guys? Why isn't it Saquon? Who added more wins to their team? Why isn't it Mahomes? Who added more wins to their team? I think legitimately what happened is they voted for All-Pro. They gave it to Lamar Jackson, and then they felt bad for Josh Allen upon voting for that. And we're like, well, he's got to get one. And so they voted for those seven people, switched their vote over. And then you got guys like Jim Miller, I think was his name, that guy who voted Lamar Jackson fourth for MVP. And I'm like, just get rid of some of the people who vote in this thing.
The only thing, though, what I'm actually truly confused by.
What changed?
Like what you said about like the stats and everything is, it's not as if that's how people are voting. Like I asked someone on the text line already say, Emmanuel Acho explained his reason. We'll play Dan Orlovsky here in a second because he gave his reasoning of, hey, well, valuable is different. Okay, I'll play along and say valuable is different, and I kind of agree. It could
Nobody's
be different.
Voted that way.
But that's not how, like, to suddenly act like today or last night that's how this always goes is not true. Emmanuel Acho, Dan Orlovsky, these people that voted for Josh Allen MVP but Lamar All-Pro, I would love to know their entire history of voting for the award. We don't have access to that. I would love to know because if that's how we're going to do it going forward, I guess, okay, that's good to remember. Let's see what happens next year because that's never how it's been. Using the argument that I'm voting most valuable for one and who has the better stats for the other, that's just not how this has gone since 1987. And so that's why I don't buy that as your reasoning. I think you're on to something, Cody, which is that it's almost like, and this sucks because it's almost – discrediting Josh Allen because Josh Allen was incredible and he was incredible this year. I told you I would have voted for Allen to win MVP and All-Pro if I could. I really would have. But at the same time, it does feel like there was seven voters that decided, well, we'll kind of split this thing as a participation trophy. And they were the minority, though, still that switched. So if all the other voters would have also turned over their votes for MVP and we would have known that, hey, they all voted All-Pro, and then it was overwhelmingly Josh Allen for MVP. Well, then I would say, okay, clearly they all were on the same page. It's clearly how we're going to approach voting. It was still only seven people that decided to, and you look at the names of the seven that did it. Right, the seven that did it are kind of interesting. The platform that they have, how they talk about Josh Allen.
Oh, Dan Orlovsky and Emmanuel Acho.
It feels like a participation trophy. And that sucks because it's discrediting Josh Allen, who was great. But that's sure what it seems like.
Because his season is good enough to win an MVP. But I'm telling you, they did it because they felt bad for their guy, Josh. Because he's a likable dude. He's a super likable dude. And because of that, they did. Listen to Dan Orlovsky. Because when we play this, Gold, I'm not even sure he believes what he's saying here.
Lamar's first team for first team All Pro,
and you voted for Josh MVP.
Yeah.
Okay, so then explain it to me. What? How did
Josh
you differentiate those things?
The value that the player brought to their football team. The Bills were the number two seed. Josh had a 40 touchdown, 8 turnover, 14 sack season. The Bills didn't have an elite defense. The Bills had a very good run game, not a great run game. They didn't have elite perimeter players in any regard. The way that Josh played this season and the different style that he played brought tremendous value to their football team. Lamar's season was absolutely sensational. He was probably the best player in football this year, or Ja'Marr Chase, or Saquon Barkley. But value and how much you impact your team, who you do it with and who you do it against, that's where I thought Josh Allen had the upper hand.
Interesting.
So that was Dan Orlovsky this morning on ESPN. He also joined Fesco and Dusty. Again, I don't have a problem if we're going to say that we're truly taking it literal. Value as MVP and All-Pro is just going to be a statistical thing. But when did the memo get out that that's just switched? So next year, let's hold everybody to it then, okay? Next year, let's hold everybody to it. If there's a debate between most likely two quarterbacks again and one has better stats, well, then that guy should just be the All-Pro, and then just because we feel like that guy was really valuable, that other guy should get MVP. That's basically what's happening. Someone on the text line, I just want to, maybe people aren't aware, 913-586-7965, someone said, Allen beat Lamar in the playoffs. This is voted on before the playoffs, so it just doesn't matter.
Actually, and it matters more the other way because Lamar beat Josh Allen in the regular season.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're going to make that argument, it doesn't even hold water because he beat him. And also, like, some of it is just he's creating a false narrative to try to excuse a bad decision. He did it based on feelings. And, look, this happens because these are people who vote on these awards. I can tell you right now, man, he got that MVP vote in front of him. And after he'd voted for Lamar, the player he knows had the better season, he sat down with a piece of paper in front of him and he's like, but I like Josh Allen. And he changed his vote because of that. Listen to the argument about defenses. He didn't have an elite defense. The difference in defense between their two defenses was 0.2 points. Yeah, you know what? Gold, you're right. That Bills defense, garbage compared. The 0.2 points different they gave up in the regular season. You know what? Night and day. I mean, you can't even tell these defenses apart. One was superior. And it's like, it's just not true. And it's just, and I get it. Like, they were like, well, I don't know if they had a dominant run game. James Cook had a great year. Yeah, I would say the Ravens' offensive wide receivers are better. I would tell you the Bills' offensive line was better. Yeah. And so, like, it's subjective, of course, but I think this is the problem, is that you're right. If Josh Allen was just the if Josh Allen was the All-Pro and the MVP, I actually wouldn't be making an argument. But I think seven people looked down at a piece of paper as they got it, and they felt bad. They felt bad for Josh because he wasn't going to get the MVP, and they're like, damn. You know what? I'll just vote Josh here. And that sucks.
Yeah,
that's
a terrible. It's that Josh Allen's been in the league for, what is it now, 7 years, 6 years? 6 years.
He's got no hardware.
And it's
no
like,
Super
man,
Bowl,
he doesn't
no
have anything to show, but we know he's really, really good. We know he's very, very good, and he had put up great numbers.
Lamar's got a couple. It's fine.
That's what it felt like. And overall, like someone said, like, why does it really matter? Overall, look, this is, you know, spoiler, we talk about sports, and this is how sports conversations go, and they're fun conversations. Like, deep down, yes, I am not, it is not hurting me with what happened last night.
I won't be able to sleep at night, personally, actually.
Yeah,
I can't believe it. I'm going to write a stern letter to Dan Orlovsky.
Yeah, and I don't know, like, next year, to me, is the telling year, because it wasn't like the entire voting body agreed with how they approached the award. And I'm not saying they all have to vote on the same player, but just the notion that stats are all pro and MVP is something different. What happens next year if we have a similar circumstance, and let's say it comes down to Patrick Mahomes and, I don't know, Jaden Daniels, okay? And Jaden Daniels, because of the rushing numbers and everything, Jaden Daniels ends up with the better stats, but we say, oh, but Mahomes looked like he was pretty darn valuable to me. So are they going to split it? Are they going to give the all-pro to Jaden Daniels and the MVP to Mahomes? Or will they? Or will next year, the logic that Orlovsky and these other guys are using this year just won't even matter?
The only thing about making it public for the first time is it'll shame people into more logical thinking. Like the guy Jim Miller. Look, I don't mean to single you out, guy, but you voted Lamar Jackson fourth for MVP. He put Joe Burrow ahead of him, Saquon Barkley, and he voted Josh Allen first. He had Lamar Jackson, a player who just finished the season with 45 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and like 5,200 total yards, fourth. Come on, man. I can't take you serious, Jim. How'd you even get this vote? Because you played quarterback for 30 games in the 80s? Take it away. Or at least quit in shame, you know? Like, go hide in the woods somewhere.
Well, look at the other
transparency
look at,
thing will help.
Look at the other categories real quick, too. You know what I mean? Like, for example, Coach of the Year, we all knew Andy Reid wasn't going to win it, even though it's that's another problem with with the whole setup, and he should have been Coach of the Year.
Most valuable coach he would have won, you know?
That's right.
Most valuable coach.
That's right.
No doubt.
Kevin O'Connell wins it. I have no problem if that's who we all thought he was going to win. But the votes, again, it's the same people that are voting on that, obviously. The votes were crazy. Andy Reid, he barely got any votes for it. Like, he ended up as a finalist, but you look at the discrepancy. Like, it's
for a 15-win team who went 15-1 in games,
with all the injuries.
He actually tried to do it with all the injuries, because this all comes back to the same thing. We talk about these awards not because they impacted the Chiefs this time, so that I hope Mahomes takes it to heart and be like, oh, okay, I see. Look, it's a false narrative, right? Like, his stats did not necessitate.
No, I'm not arguing that Mahomes should have been MVP.
I am if their argument is just like the value that the hypothetical
that's only those seven
mystery value that he adds to a team.
We have to remember though, that's still only seven people that thought that way. The you know of the what is it 51 voters, the majority of the voters thought, all pro and MVP, same dude. It's only seven people that tried to explain this new logic that we've never seen before for the award.
TV narrative award, essentially, all of a sudden. But when you, like, it all just kind of goes back to the same thing, which I love about what Kansas City does. The reason why they're able to be in a position where Sunday we're going to talk about a three-peat is because they have turned themselves into the ultimate team. During these last 3 years, Patrick Mahomes' stats have not reflected that level of MVP play. But you and I both know he can do whatever he wants whenever he wants. When there are 4 minutes left to go in the game, Gold, when there are 2 minutes left to go in the game and you have to have a score, will you get a score if Patrick Mahomes is your quarterback? Yes. When you need a big stop at the right moment on defense, will Spags do it? Will Chris Jones do it? Yes, they will. They are the ultimate team. So, like, I feel good knowing that I don't care the pieces around you or the things or the, oh, they had better weapons or this defense or that or anything else in between. We know that the Chiefs will get where they need to go in that case.
Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll be joined by Josh Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor for 96.5 The Fan. Of course, our big game coverage on 96.5 The Fan brought to you by Community America Credit Union, member-owned, open-all, invested in you. Join today at communityamerica.com. I want to get a little music behind us here because why don't we take a look? We've talked so much about the star players in this game and who has the better group of weapons, everything. Why don't we do a little player draft? You guys can participate as well if you want on the text line, 913-586-7965.
Please tell us who won.
So the three of us will do a snake, serpentine, whatever you want to call it, draft. Three players. Of course, you can't pick the same player.
Okay.
Three of us, 4 rounds. I guess we'll let Drew. You're back in the studio.
You're going to let him go first? Am I going to randomize it?
No. Do you have a randomizer up?
No, but I do like him having to say Patrick Mahomes first. So go ahead, Drew.
You start us off. No, Drew, you get the first pick, my man.
No.
You start us off. We're going to pick the four, everybody's four best players in the game. And once you pick Mahomes, obviously.
I can randomize it if you really want to.
Randomize
it. It's kind of funny.
Oh, Drew.
Wow, he just doesn't want to have to say it.
Randomize it.
All right.
He wanted to pick Jalen Hurts, is what it is. He wanted to pick Saquon.
No, I was not going to pick him either.
Are you sure? Because if you were going to say Saquon, you were going to have to get lumped in with Jim Miller, and it was going to have to be, we were going to have to get back into this.
I want it
problem.
To be randomized. I want it to be randomized.
You want it to be randomized?
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
I'm not saying I wouldn't pick Mahomes, but I want it to be randomized.
Wheel. Spin goes the wheel. Gold, congratulations. Mm-hmm. You are the number one overall pick. I'm guessing you're thinking like Jalen Carter,
Harrison Butker. No, I'm going to go. Although he might get picked.
Verbal bets are binding.
He might get picked. No, Patrick Mahomes. Let's go ahead and mark that down. First pick for me. Shockingly, I know Patrick Mahomes.
Good pick.
Wow, you and you know what? I got to be
second?
Honest.
Who's
if we
second?
Put this thing out on social media, I feel like just having that is going to give you a definitive edge, Drew.
Oh, Drew's
you
got second.
Are
okay.
Second.
All right.
I'm going to take Saquon Barkley.
Yeah. Saquon.
Okay.
I mean, this is where I'm supposed to. This is where I'm supposed to take Jalen Hurts. I know that I'm supposed to take the quarterback.
It's not, take whoever you think. You didn't know supposed to take whoever you think.
Chris Jones.
Okay. That's strong. You get two in a row, too, man. You get two
Chris
in a row.
Jones. Chris Jones is my first pick.
Okay.
I wanted to make it clear that he was a first-round pick, The spot deserves. And Joe Tooney is my second pick.
Okay. You're going linemen.
I'm a man of the trenches.
Okay.
What can I say? A man who loves the trenches.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and go Travis Kelce with my second pick.
I respect that. I thought about it, but.
Drew?
Oh, you get two in a row.
He does.
Is really difficult. I'm
where are you going, Drew? Where are you going with the
you
pick?
You have an all-Eagles team?
No. I'm going to go Trent McDuffie.
He's going McDuffie. Okay, you're going McDuffie.
Like
all right, you get another one.
A.J. Brown.
A.J. Brown.
I got no argument against A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
Okay. This is where I will take Jalen Hurts.
You're not up yet.
Wait, oh, really?
Yes, you're not up. It goes back. Serpentine. Drew got two in a row.
I couldn't keep track of the order. I have two players. You have two players?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
You're up. Go ahead. I couldn't remember if it was my turn.
Your fantasy football draft must be interesting. You got the way you guys do your order.
I'm just not
order.
Looking at it. I just jumped the gun. Right, you are welcome to take Jalen Hurts.
You and A.J. Brown. No, I already have Mahomes. I mean, I don't need two quarterbacks. I mean, although that would solve the QB sneak issue very quickly for this team.
Yeah, no.
No, are we assembling a team or are we assembling just the best
players?
You
said the most important players. I wasn't necessarily trying to go position.
I'm not going to pick two quarterbacks. No, that's a little silly. I'll go ahead and go for this one. You took McDuffie, didn't you? You know what? I'll go Xavier Worthy.
Xavier Worthy. Okay.
All right.
That's an interesting one. I'll take Jalen Hurts for one of them. I mean, I do think he's one of the most important players in the game.
Your last pick. Who else you
got? I think it'd be kind of foolish to assume that.
One final pick.
It's like, do I choose one of the corners for the Eagles? Do I choose... there's not another wide receiver to make a guess on. Part of me wants to just, go way off the board.
Did we screw up the order? I don't know.
I think you did because you didn't pick two gold. You only picked Xavier Worthy.
Oh, we totally botched the order.
You need to do one more. Cody does one more, and then I do one more.
After you made fun of me?
I know.
Oh, okay. It's so technically... I can't pick. Choose your guy, then.
It's Gold's pick, then Cody's, then mine.
Oh, my God. I can't keep track.
I mean, I'm still not gonna, you can still get Hurts because I'm not taking Hurts.
Fine.
So.
Choose somebody else.
I guess my last pick will go ahead and be Quinyon Mitchell.
Okay. Mine will be Hurts and Jalen Carter.
All right.
Drew, who you got last?
I thought Drew took Jalen Carter.
Did he?
No, I did not. I have Saquon McDuffie, A.J. Brown.
I would have picked him right there. I screwed
too
up.
Too late.
I screwed
sorry.
Up. Yeah.
He's on team. He's on my squad.
We screwed up the order. Oh, well.
Oh, no. It's all good. I'm going to take Cooper DeJean.
Okay.
All right.
All right. So final roster for Drew. If I wrote this down correctly.
I hope so.
I don't
Saquon,
have a quarterback.
McDuffie, A.J. Brown, Cooper DeJean. Drew doesn't have a quarterback. But again, we just said who are the best players.
Saquon's going to throw it to himself. It's all right.
Okay. Cody, you went Chris Jones, Joe Tooney, Jalen Hurts, and Jalen Carter.
I feel pretty good about my squad, honestly.
I went Mahomes, Kelce, Worthy, Quinyon Mitchell. I thought Carter was already off the board.
I was like, are you going to take an Eagle, or are you just taking four Chiefs?
Well, I mean, I know. I
thought the same thing.
Hey, look, I've got respect for it. Had I picked in your spot, I absolutely would have chosen Mahomes.
The issue was, like, I was never going to take two quarterbacks for this. I just wasn't.
I like other people in the tech center. Like, it should have been Alex Drew.
It ended up.
You know what? We got the same number of players.
We ended up getting the same, and I was never taking Hurts, so it didn't actually screw anything up. Yeah. But yes, that is live radio.
Who the hell was I going to take? Carson Wentz as my quarterback? I don't know about that.
You could have taken. Well, you could have just taken no quarterback. You could have taken Creed Humphrey.
Well, I did. I did take no quarterback.
Devonta Smith. Devonta Smith averages 6 catches for 100 yards and a touchdown, essentially, against Kansas
City. Very true.
I consider him. George Karloftis has 7
I almost took Zach Bond. I was tempted to take Zach Bond.
Yeah, there's a lot of good choices. I actually think these teams are relatively close to even in talent based on entirety of roster's gold. But the difference is that I have more faith in Mahomes and Andy Reid, obviously, than Hurts and Nick Sirianni. And so that ends up being this, like, big swing.
I mean, if we're talking about, like, chemistry, then Gold's got the best roster. He is Kelce, Mahomes, and Worthy. I mean, that right there has got A-plus chemistry run all over it.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
If you didn't take A.J. Brown, if we would have done that correctly early, I would have gotten A.J. Brown before I would have picked Worthy, obviously. But Brown was off the board. I mean, Kelce, though, was sitting there. I mean, I still got to go with him.
He's one of the all-time great playoff performers, man. No one's
you guys
like
are surprised
it.
That I took a Chiefs player. I can't believe it. You guys.
Well, why do you put that on social media,
if
Drew?
You had,
people choose?
If you had the first pick, Drew, who would you have taken?
I would have taken Patrick Mahomes.
You wouldn't have taken Barkley, which would have been okay. You know, you could have leaned in.
Drew.
I think
after his guy, Joey B, yesterday predicted the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl.
I think I would have taken Patrick Mahomes.
They recognized game. Didn't he predict the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl
yesterday? He did.
Nobody said he was ever stupid.
Yeah.
Maybe cocky and arrogant. Nobody said he was stupid.
There is nothing about him that says arrogant. I do not understand.
By the way, if you said Mahomes is cocky and arrogant, I'd be like, yes, he is.
Red carpet interview and everything.
I listen to every single interview.
I know.
And, you know, he's very honest and open. I mean, it's nice to have, you know, honest and open opinions where he's like, this is what I feel like we need. You know, I feel like I'm the best quarterback, which you're supposed to say again.
Right.
You know?
He said no one had a better year than him. He said he wasn't going to win the MVP award, but he didn't think anyone was playing better quarterback than him.
Yeah. Someone's upset we didn't take Butker. If we had
honest.
5 rounds, Butker would have been off the board next.
Certainly not Jake Elliott.
No. Yeah. You're only taking one of the kickers.
I mean, obviously, based on previous Super Bowls, you can make an incredibly strong argument for him, but I haven't done it.
You guys didn't think
Jalen Carter was still there.
You guys, how far down would you have to go before you would take Butker over Kareem Hunt?
Yes. Running backs are running backs, dude.
That's what I was wondering, because obviously Saquon's the guy, but you would take Butker ahead of Kareem Hunt
in terms of this conversation. But I wouldn't have taken him ahead of Devonta Smith, and I wouldn't have taken him ahead of George Karloftis. We probably would have had to get a few more rounds down.
Okay.
There are a few more players I would have gotten to before I got to Butker, but he's definitely ahead of...
How about Creed?
He's definitely ahead of... Yeah, you know, I mean, look, Creed's our guy, but...
Would you take Butker ahead of Noah Gray?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Even though I hope Noah Gray has 2 touchdowns on Sunday.
I might have taken Butker above
Goddard?
Maybe one of the Eagles' corners. I don't know.
Again, the Quinyon Mitchell pick, oh man, he's a very good corner.
Panic. It was a panic pick.
It was a panic pick. Clock was running down. The clock was running down in front of me. We already had messed up the flow of the segment. I was like, we had it. I couldn't sit there and think. That wasn't good.
Made.
All right, up next, we'll check in with Josh Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor for 96.5 The Fan. As we continue broadcasting here from Rally House Oak Park, the place to get geared up for the big game on Sunday. Stop on by till 2 o'clock. We're registering you to win a $250 gift card. Say hello to us. Hope to see you guys out here. Everybody rocking in the red gear. Cody's rocking a Super Bowl champions hoodie. And last time we were one of the ladies that worked here who actually sang last week for us, remember?
Yeah.
2 weeks ago whenever we were here. She said, where was your red 2 weeks ago? So she came
so
by
you
again.
Came and read this.
So I came. She's like, thank you for wearing all red. So somebody
mine says
had
Super Bowl champions.
That counts. That counts. All right. Up next, Josh Briscoe joins us.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almacid. Almacid is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almacid. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almacid.com.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on. 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.